You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week one in our series, Let's Take a Break. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here's Pastor Sten with this week's message.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Sten, and I'm the pastor here. We're thrilled to have you with us today, whether you are here on site at Camp St. Croix or whether you are tuning in online with us from somewhere not here today. We're really glad to have you be a part of what's happening at Midcurrent. I don't know about you, but every now and again, I go through some stretches in my life where, if I'm honest, I go through periods or seasons where I cannot sleep. I usually lie in bed and I tell my wife my mind is absolutely racing. It's racing in, 50 different directions, and it's usually going about a million miles an hour. Usually, I'm doing one of any number of things all at the same time. Typically, I'm either remembering emails that need to be sent, right? It's 10:30, 11:30, 12. It's 1 in the morning. I'm remembering emails that need to be sent. I'm remembering and reviewing the to-do lists that need to be completed. Or I'm writing the message that I need to be delivering in just a few days on Sunday morning. I'm plotting dates on my calendar that need to be scheduled, or setting meetings with people that need to be followed up with. Or I'm mulling over some kind of, criticism that I have just received. And it's all happening all at the very same time when I'm trying to sleep. And one train of thought rarely reaches its conclusion before the next one comes crashing in, competing for space in my mind. Anyone ever have moments like this? Whether you're lying in bed, or maybe whether you're just like taking your lunch break, right? Your mind is consumed with a million different things all at once. And for you, it might not be the messages. It's probably not the messages that you're going to be delivering on Sunday morning, or the emails that you need to return, but it very well might be the annual review that you have coming up, or it might be the bills that you have to pay, or the debt that keeps rising, or maybe for you it's the argument that you are in with your spouse, or maybe it's the friends that your teenager has been hanging out with and the things that they've been doing lately, or maybe for you it's the diagnosis that you have been waiting for, or maybe it's the big decision that has been looming in your life, or the thing that you know you need to do next, but you can't just seem to bring yourself to do it. And whether we're lying in bed, or we're sitting around the table, or sitting at lunch break, or sitting at our desk for work, right? Our mind is consumed with so many different things. The circumstances, I would guess, the circumstances that all of us are dealing with, I'm sure they're wildly different, but I'm guessing that we all ask the very same one question in the midst of whatever it is that is bouncing around and crashing in our mind. That one question is, what if? Right, when these kinds of things are bouncing around in our mind, typically we're consumed with this question of what if? What if they say no? Right? What if they actually get in with the wrong crowd? What if we can't afford it? What if the test result is positive? What if they don't like my presentation? What if my kid isn't developing as fast as all of his friends? And what if he doesn't make the team like all of his buddies? Or what if I don't have the right answer? Or what if I'm not good enough? Or what if they don't like me? Or what if they don't call my back? Or what if I find out they were hanging out without me? Or what if I, what if, what if, what if, what if? I think we ask these questions all the time. And in my opinion, what if, it's typically ultimately, it's just a symptom in a lot of ways. The what if questions that we ask, I think for you and for me, it can be an indicator of something that nips at the heels of more and more people today. Something that slowly creeps into our lives, sometimes without a whole lot of warning, sometimes without a whole lot of notice, and it's a pretty silent but deadly five-letter word that I'm talking about. It's worry, right? What if? How will we ever? What in the world are we gonna do next, right? For so many people, worry is such a big deal. In fact, I just got an email this morning from a blogger and a podcaster that I follow talking about worry. He sends out a monthly, news blast, and he said that the statistics in this past year alone of the people who are experiencing worry and anxiety, it's going through the roof. I looked it up. Here's the definition of worry that I think alludes to something important for based on what it is that I want to suggest to you today. Here's the definition of worry. It says it's mental distress. I've been there. It's mental distress or agitation resulting from concern, usually for something impending or anticipated. Okay? It's those last two words that really catch my attention most. Impending or anticipated. As in, not yet. Or as in, not even guaranteed. Or for sure, not present right now. And ultimately, folks, what this says to me is that worry, if we really want to break it down, worry, all it is, it's a disproportionate emphasis on tomorrow. On what could be. On what is possible, on what is impending, on what is anticipated, but is not actually yet here today. And whether we realize it or not, I want us to see today how destructive it really can be. And so the good news for us is that Jesus actually has a lot to say, not only about worry, but he has a lot to say about worry in its relationship to today and to tomorrow. In fact, there's a whole portion of a sermon that he delivers, his most famous sermon, that deals with this very thing, the ideas of today and tomorrow and the worries that we have in the midst of it all. And today, I want you to see what it is that Jesus has to say about these things. And it's what I want to talk about in this very first week of the series that Haley told you about that's called Let's Take a Break. As so many of us shift into spring break mode over the next few weeks, especially those of us with school-age kids, spring break is on the mind. And so I said, you know what? I want to give each and every one of us, I want to give each and every one of you permission to take a vacation. Not necessarily a vacation to somewhere warm and tropical, and if that's where you're at today, I'm glad for you. But that's not the vacation I want to give you permission to take. The vacation that I want to give you permission to take is a vacation from the problems that steal all of our joy and that rob us of the life that God intended for us. And chief among those problems that we experience in life is this thing called worry. Worry about what is impending or anticipated or not quite yet on our plate. God must have known, I think, God must have known that this was going to be our Achilles heel, because over and over again, the Bible, God's word to us, it urges us, do not worry, do not be afraid, do not let your heart be anxious. In fact, the phrase fear not or some form of that, it's written 365 times in the Bible. Look at that. It's one for every day of the year. It would seem as if God has provided us a daily reminder not to worry. And that's all well and good, right? That's really kind of cute. 365 times for 365 days a year. But you know as well as I do that we need a whole lot more than a cute little reminder to take a break from worry in our lives for good. It's not as easy as just saying, oh, God says don't worry, cool, got it, I'm good. And so what I wanna do today is this. There's a lot that can be said about worry, right? I've heard some great messages on worry that oftentimes it's the thing we worry about most that reveal where we trust God the least, right? I've heard things about saying, hey, if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about, and that's all well and good. There's some very valuable things that we can learn about this idea of worry. But what I wanna do today is this, very simple. Number one, I want us just to see what it is that Jesus says about worry, in particular, what he has to say about God's promises to us for today and what he says about our worries tomorrow. And then number two, what I want to do is this. I just want to try to paint a picture for us. I want to try to paint a picture for us of the consequences, the impact that worry has in your life and in mine. And I want to paint a picture for us of what worry, I think, actually does to us so that we might think twice. My hope is that this picture that I paint, it might be stuck in your mind and that all of us might think twice before we ever allow ourselves to play this worry game too much and too often ever again. And so I think if we are really going to take a break from worry for good, I think we need to understand something first of all. I think we need to understand that worry is something so much more than just an unwelcome and an unwanted, you know, annoying guest in our head. I don't think we're truly going to overcome it or take a break from it unless we understand really how detrimental it is to us. In a way, I started thinking, man, it's kind of like sugar. You can tell me over and over again that I should stop eating sugar, but it's not until I start to read and so I start to learn about how, you know, like poisonous it is for my body and its effect on my body that I start thinking, oh, maybe I should take a break from this thing called sugar. And in a way, I think it's kind of the same thing with worry. We need to understand. I think if we're going to take a break from it, we need to understand its impact on our daily lives. And so the picture I want to paint for you today is one that I hope would help you to rethink or to unlearn or to even deprogram this practice of worry that has most likely come so natural to so many of us today. And so if a worry-free or even a worry-less life is of interest to you, then I want you to look with me at what Jesus has to say in Matthew chapter 6. I told you it's his most, you know, famous sermon. And it's delivered to crowds of people who have gathered to hear Jesus speak. It's everyday people just like you and me who have come to hear him speak. And here in chapter 6 in particular, he begins, and stick with me here, he begins by giving his listeners a format or kind of a template for how it is that they should pray. And it's become known in some ways as the Lord's Prayer. And there's one part of this prayer that I want to draw your attention to as we begin this conversation today. It goes like this. The prayer goes, "Our Father in heaven," some of you know this, "hallowed be your name, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then pay close attention. You see on the side screens, pay close attention to the very next part of this prayer that he teaches. It's verse 11. He says, "And give us this day." He's teaching his followers, people coming to hear him speak, how to pray. And this is what he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's his instructions for you, for me, for his listeners, for his followers to pray that kind of prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Ultimately, this is God's promise to you, and this is God's promise to me. It's daily provision. It's not weekly. It's not, you know, monthly. It's not even annually provision. It's daily provision. All we are instructed to do, all we are instructed to rely on from God is strength for what? For today. And Jesus expands on this idea in some of the verses to follow. And he goes on to talk about the birds in the sky and the flowers in the field. And he asks a bunch of rhetorical questions. He says, "Does God not care for them? Does God not provide for them? And are you not much more valuable than the birds in the sky and the flowers in the field?" And the obvious answer is yes, he provides for them. And yes, we are more valuable to him. And so certainly he's going to provide for us. And then he reminds us once again of the promises to those of us who are really seeking after him. It's verse 33. For those of us who are truly seeking after him, here's the good news. He, it says, he, God, will give you everything that you need. Okay? And so the question then is everything you need for what? Maybe you're asking. Everything you need for what? It's for today. God's promise is for daily bread. It's for daily breath. It's for daily strength. It's for daily provision in our lives. Strength for today. And as a result, Jesus concludes with this statement here in verse 34. He says, "So do not worry then about what? About tomorrow. He will give you everything you need today. So do not worry then about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." I want to be clear here. Jesus isn't saying, I want to make sure we all understand this. Jesus isn't saying, if you follow me or if you believe in me or if your heart is open to God, you'll never have anything hard to deal with in your life. I think he's just saying, take it one day at a time. commenting on this this very verse from Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, this idea that we don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow has its own troubles. Commenting on this verse, Christian author Max Lucado, he kind of summarizes it all, or he kind of encourages us like this, and you see it on the side screens as well. Max Lucado writes, "God will help you deal with whatever hard thing comes when the time comes." Let me read that again. God will help you deal with whatever hard thing comes. This is not to say that if you follow Jesus, no hard things will come. It's not the truth. He says, God will help you deal with whatever hard thing comes when the time comes. If it's a hard thing today, God's going to help you deal with it today. And if it's a hard thing tomorrow, then God will help you deal with it then. So to the couple who says, I don't know what we would do if the furnace breaks, I think he would say, you will when the time comes. Right? To the man or the husband who says, what if, right? We ask the what if questions. What if I lose my job? I don't even know what I would do next. The truth is, you will when and if the time comes. To the student who says, what if I don't get accepted into the school of my dreams? I don't even know what I would do. Once again, the truth is, you will know when the time comes. God will give you everything you need. To the young woman who says, what if he breaks up with me? I don't even think I'd be able to handle that. The truth is, no, it won't be easy, but strength will arrive when? When the time comes. And so Midcurrent, here's what I would suggest to you today. The key for all of us in this is to understand this, that we have to meet today's problems with today's promises. We have to meet today's problems with today's promises. The problem with worry that I want to help you kind of visualize today, the problem with worry is that we end up using all of today's promises on tomorrow's problems. Problems that are only anticipated or impending, but not actually present at the moment. The key is using today's promises on today's problems. The problem is that we often use today's promises on tomorrow's problems. Think of it like this. Picture God's promises to you and me like $5 bills. I'm not suggesting that God's provision is you know, just monetary in our lives only, but I want to help paint a picture for you here, one where you understand the value of God's promise, God's daily promise to you. So picture God's promises to you and me as five single dollar bills. It's our daily bread. It's our daily source of strength. It's our daily allowance of God's goodness to us. And it's symbolized for us today by these $5 bills. They are meant to get us through the day. They're God's promises to us, and they're intended to help us rise to whatever challenges that we would encounter. And the truth is, every day we have a choice. We can spend those promises on today's problems, or we can spend those promises on tomorrow's problems. And when we spend too much on tomorrow, what happens is we rarely have enough for today. Okay, here's how this looks in my life. I want to give you a very real-time example. Maybe you'll start to see how this could be true in your own life. I want to give you an example from this past week even. Real-time stuff here. This was Wednesday, to be exact. I woke up, and just like every other day, and for me and for you, right, God promised to be my source of daily bread. He promised to help me deal with whatever it is that came my way when the time came. And those promises to me and the promises to you, they're represented once again by those $5 bills. God knows my needs. God knows what I need to make it through the day. And just like the birds in the sky and the flowers of the field, he will give me what I need. And I get to choose where I spend those dollars. Needs today or problems tomorrow. So here's how this worked for me. This was Wednesday. I got to the church office, aka Dun Brothers. And I got to work, actually, I kid you not, I got to work on this very message that I was planning to deliver today, okay? Got to work on this message, and then the phone rang. And truth be told, I got some news that I was not excited to hear. I got some news that there might be, there could be, there's a possibility that there could be some delays with the HVAC units for the new building that we are building downtown. Got the news that there's a possibility that our move-in date downtown, it could be pushed back slightly. Maybe. It's possible. It's anticipated. It's impending. Not the kind of news that I was looking for. So what did I do? I started to worry. And I started to ask all the what ifs. What if we don't get the units in time? What if everybody at church who's been a part of this project and who's been contributing to this project, what if everybody's discouraged and bummed out? What if we have trouble extending our contracts here at Camp St. Croix longer than when we told them that we would be renting here for the year? What if there's a gap in time between the moment that you know we can't be here any longer, if that was to be the case, and when we can move in there? What if? I started asking myself all these questions. But the truth is, what was I really doing in that moment? I was spending one of today's promises on tomorrow's problems. Problems that did not actually quite exist yet, but that had captured my attention anyway. Then I needed a mental break after, you know, some phone calls and some, you know, thoughts and, you know, worry. I needed a mental break. And so I hopped over onto Facebook Marketplace and I checked the ad that I had posted about a car that we're currently trying to sell. We just put a bunch of money into it and we're afraid that it's going to need even, you know, more repairs on the way. So we're thinking, you know what, let's just like start over. Let's just, you know, cut our losses and start over with this again. And so I've cleaned it all up and I got it all ready to go. And I had posted it a few days earlier. And so I checked the post. Still no messages. Okay. No offers, not even an inquiry, not even a lowball offer on the car. And so what did I do? I started to worry. What if no one makes an offer? What if they do, but it's not really the offer that we were looking for? What if it's not, you know, what we were hoping to get for the car? Or what if it takes too long? This is really big time. What if it takes too long and eventually I have to edit the post so that it no longer says 167,000 miles, but it says 168,000 miles, which looks so much worse on the ad that I'm hoping would get people's attention. I do not want to have to switch the 7 to the 8. This is a crucial piece of the advertisement online. Okay? I'm good at worrying. It's a spiritual gift in my extended family, and yet in reality, all I was doing in that moment was spending yet another of today's promises on tomorrow's problems. Problems that did not exist yet. They were only anticipated, impending. Okay, but now I was on a roll, so then I checked some of the dealerships online because I had to sort this stuff out. And then when I realized that the money that we had set aside for a new car didn't quite match the numbers that were in the little yellow stickers on the windshields of the cars that I was interested in, I worried some more. What if we get stuck with the van? What if I can't get Erica a car with 4 working doors like I promised her? So then I rechecked a Facebook ad and I edited some of the description and I dropped the price just slightly in hope of getting someone's attention. It felt very responsible and it felt very productive, like I was caring for my family and the needs of my wife and my kids. But what was I really doing? I was spending yet again another of today's promises on tomorrow's problems. By this time, this is very true, this past Wednesday, by this time it was almost noon and I had to shift gears to an afternoon of meetings and appointments, and very truth be told, I made very little progress on this message that I was preparing for and had to write that morning. And so then some big time what ifs started pouring in. What if I don't get this done? What if this is not as helpful to everyone who comes to Midcurrent? What if this message isn't as helpful to the message that I gave last week? What if people stopped coming to Midcurrent because of this week's message? What if attendance started to drop and giving started going down? We couldn't move in, we couldn't afford the new building all because of this message that stunk that week, right? This is my job and this is my profession. And so the concern and the conscientiousness and the desire to do right by all of you is justified, right? Maybe, but I'm not quite sure. It was, yet again, me spending one of today's promises on another of tomorrow's problems. And at this point, I had only, $1 left. Not that God just deals in fives with his promises to us, but I think you see what I'm doing here. At this point, I only had $1 left, one of God's promises to me that I have left. I had $1 left for an afternoon of meetings with people that I really wanted to invest into and pour into, and in meetings that needed strength and energy and wisdom from me. I only had $1 left for the energy that I needed to expend to pour into these people. And I only had $1 then left for a very highly emotional son who just left his snow pants on the bus for about the 50th straight day. I'm not worrying about that one anymore. That's his problem. I only had $1 left for a daughter who had been home with strep throat. I only had $1 left for a wife who was looking for some adult conversation when I got home. I only had $1 left to be the strength and to be the support that my family needed. I only had $1 left for an evening of putting the three kids to bed on my own because my wife was going to be out of the house for the night. I only had $1 left. For all of the things that God had asked of me for that day, for all the responsibilities that God put on my plate for that day, I only had $1 left. And friends, let me tell you, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Everyone along the way got shortchanged. I had no more strength for today because I had spent it all on problems tomorrow. And here's the deal. That wasn't God's fault. None of the problems that I experienced from that point on, none of that was God's fault. It was my fault. God gave me plenty for the day. He gave me daily bread. He always does. He promised to give me strength for the day, meant to meet the challenges of that day. But I used it all up. I used it all up on a bunch of problems that didn't really quite exist yet. Midcurrent, here's what I want to say to you today. We cannot use today's promises on tomorrow's problems. We cannot use today's promises on tomorrow's problems. God has promised to provide you and me with what we need for the time at hand. And so we cannot use today's promises on tomorrow's problems, right? The truth is we are going to have what we need for those problems when the time comes. And so I paint this picture for you today because here's the deal. The next time you're about to worry about something, and I don't make light of this. I mean, this just happens. We worry about what is possible, what is impending, what is anticipated, what could be but not is not yet. This is true for all of us. And so I just want to try to create some kind of picture that would make you stop, right? The next time you're about to, or the next time you notice yourself asking these what ifs, or the next time you feel yourself worrying about something that is possible or impending or anticipated, I just want you to think about the cost. Right? The next time you want to play the what if game, think about the cost. Think about what it's going to cost you to do so and whether or not at that moment it is a game that you can afford to play or not. On top of that, maybe you would remind yourself of yet another of one of Jesus's kind of most famous sayings about worry. that comes right from this very same sermon of his as well. This saying actually comes in the form of a question when Jesus asks all his listeners, and he asks you and me too, can all of your worries, he says, can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? The obvious answer, we know this, the obvious answer is no. Adding to your life by worrying is impossible. But what I think is becoming clear here is that subtracting from it, taking away from it, stealing from it, robbing from it, depleting it, it's almost inevitable. So no, adding to your life by worry is impossible, but taking away from it, it is almost inevitable. And I'm not sure that's a game that we can afford to play. So if you hear me say anything else today about worry, what I want you to hear is this: worry is a waste. Worry in your life and in mine, it is a waste. It is a waste of our time. It is a waste of God's promise. Is it a waste of God's provision? It's a waste of God's goodness that is given to us freely each and every day for the battles at hand, for the responsibilities that he has put on our plate, for the roles that he has asked us to play, for the lives that he has asked us to influence. And so when it comes to worry, when it comes to the problems that have not arrived quite yet, when it comes to the problems that are only anticipated, that are impending, that are possible, but they're not quite here yet, my encouragement to all of us is this: let's take a break. Let's take a break. Let's put worry as best as we can. Let's put worry in the rearview mirror, and let's stop, whatever we do, let's stop using today's promises on tomorrow's problems, and let's trust that tomorrow God's mercies will be new once again. The reality is, if more of us were going to take a break from worry, if more of us were going to commit ourselves to using today's promises on today's problems, there's a whole other set of what ifs that come to my mind. Great what ifs this time. And I think, man, what if more of us lived our lives like this? What if more of us met today's problems with today's promises? I can't help but think about the bosses we could be, the coworkers we could be, the students we could be, the spouses we could be, the parents we could be, the neighbors that we could be. When we use what God has given us today to meet the needs, to meet the problems, to meet the challenges that we experience today, and let tomorrow worry about itself. So let's meet today's problems with today's promises, with today's strength that God gives to us each and every day. Let me pray for us. God, thanks so much for being a God who cares for us, right? Like the birds in the sky and the flowers in the field, we know and we see you care for them. You provide for their every need. God, if we need a reminder about it, God, would you remind us today that surely, surely, surely you will care for us. You will provide for us too. And God, I don't mean to make light of worry as if it's something that we can just, you know, kind of flip a switch on and off in our life. This is tough stuff. Right? When fear creeps in, our mind starts to race. God, this is the real deal, and I don't suggest that it's easy to put it in the rearview mirror or to take a break from it, but I'm just asking, God, that you would help us to look at all things with a clear mind, with clear hearts, with clear eyes, to see the problems that exist for what they are. And God, I just pray that you would help us, ultimately, God, would you help us to be good, you know, managers? Would you help us to be good stewards today of what it is that you have given to us, of what it is that you have provided for us. God, I thank you for being our source of daily bread, of daily strength, of daily provision. And would you help us to use, God, that provision on the things that matter most? Would you help us to be present, God, trusting that when hard things will come our way, we will know what to do with your help when and if the time comes. God, we thank you for your grace and for your mercies for us that are new each and every day. I know I need it, God, and I think so many of us here do. And so we give you thanks for your grace and for your mercy, and most of all, for your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray here this morning. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for being here with us. If you have plans this week, we hope you have a great spring break, whether you're staying at home or hitting the road, or whether your break is sometime down the line. Regardless of where it is that you'll be throughout the week, we hope that we would see you right back here, either on site or online next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. as we continue on with week number 2 in this series. Let's take a break. We hope to see you then. God bless you.